The White Rose, Munich, 1942-1943, by Inge Scholl, with an introduction by Dorothee Sola. Translated from the German by Arthur R. Schultz. Read by, in order of appearance, Elizabeth Wiley, Heather Henderson, Eduardo Ballerini, Kaylee Harwood, David Skolsky, Dion Graham, Josh Bloomberg, Paul Strickverda.
Introduction to the Second Edition, 1983, by Dorothee Zolle. I recall an overcast early spring afternoon when I climbed over the stone wall that separated our garden from our neighbors. I recall my playmates' anxiousness to tell me the news about some university students in Munich who had thrown hundreds of paper sheets from the balcony into the vast entrance hall of the university's main building. I guess we did not yet know the word leaflet. The students were arrested because the superintendent had seen them do it and promptly notified the police. I was struck by my friend Jürgen's words, as I detested the superintendent of my all-girls high school, knowing all too well what kind of power he had. I asked Jürgen what was written on the papers. "Something against the Führer," was his reply. We did not talk about what would happen to these young students, just 8 or 10 years older than we. Children in Germany in 1943, even if they were as young as we were, knew what would happen. Maybe we fleetingly muttered "KZ," meaning concentration camp, or "gleich tot," meaning killed instantly. I do not remember. At night, my parents would listen to the radio broadcasts from Switzerland and the BBC in London. It might have been then that I first heard the name White Rose, but it would take 2 more years of killing and defending and gassing before we were freed from Hitler, and many more years before we would start to claim our history and discover that at least some Germans, however few, had resisted the Nazis. I saw Sophie Scholl's photograph for the first time during one of these seizures of despair most of us are visited by in our youthful years. I remember telling myself that Sophie was the one friend I needed and would never meet. Why was I still around? How could anyone in my generation, anyone born in 1929, wish to grow up after all that had happened in our country? Was it not much more natural to stop growing, as Oscar Mazzerat in Günter Grass's novel insisted on doing? We had so few people we could trust in as we entered a world of old Nazis and opportunists. Quite a few former refugees returned to Germany, but we felt as isolated in post-war Germany as Sophie and Hans Scholl and their friends once did. We heard the White Rose portrayed, after the war, as a group of highly idealistic people with little sense of the realities of power and politics. For many years I believed that this was true. Where was their strategy? Whom did they want to reach? What could they hope for? Was it not clear from the very beginning that they were destined to be caught and to die for a besmirched fatherland? Hölderlin, one of the great poets of the idealistic epic, had said, "For thee, O fatherland, no one has fallen in vain." Did they not fall in vain? How could one successfully resist Hitler and the military-industrial complex of the Alfred Krupps and the IG Farbens, armed only with Western political philosophy from Aristotle to Fichte, the words of such classical German writers as Goethe and Schiller, and the wisdom of Lao Tzu and the Bible? Sometimes I felt that it was just for us, the next generation, that they had died, preferring death to living under Hitler. I wondered if they died so that we would know there had been at least a few people in Germany, a few students among hundreds of thousands, with a conscience. I have changed my mind about the so-called youthful idealism of the White Rose, and I would like to explain to the North American...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?